everybody, this is Jess.
And Nick.
And this is a very special edition of Table Talk.
We're going to call this Local News and Views. So we
Ooh,
are,
I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. Here we are, coming to you from Wixom, Michigan, which is part of the Lakes area here in Southeast Michigan, consisting of Walled Lake, Wixom, Wolverine Lake, and Commerce Township. We represent the third largest school district in Michigan, and we thought this was a really great conversation to have. Our community, unfortunately, is pretty polarized with an upcoming school board election that will be on tomorrow's ballot. So we wanted to give those running an opportunity to use our platform to share some of their thoughts, answer some of the questions that we have as parents in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a 7 and a 12-year-old, so middle and elementary school, this school district and the education that our kids receive is super important. And even more than that, the kind of community that this creates. So we were able to sit down with Susie Crafton, Mark Siegler, and Ron Lippitt over at Trails Edge Cafe in Wixom.
Shout out to Courtney. Thank Woo-hoo. You so much.
Wonderful. If you have not dropped in, you absolutely should. We're excited to do some more interviews there. We got to sit down. We had a great conversation and got to ask maybe some more unique questions that you wouldn't necessarily hear in a typical interview. So as parents, hopefully that kind of comes through and we address some of those things. The other piece that we really wanted to make sure we did was to give equal opportunity to all those running for school board. We do not have any alliance with any of the folks that we are, interviewing today. This is the platform that we feel is a really great way to get out information to the community and allow people to have a voice, and for folks to be able to make their own decision based on, you know, what feels right to them. So I'm really proud of our ability to do that. We also, for those folks running that weren't able to do an interview with us because this was super last minute, we will have available on our socials the questions available to them that they answered, and we'll be able to post those. So everyone will have an opportunity, and I think, again, that is just so important, and I wanted to make sure that everybody is really aware of that's what we're really looking to do here.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Nick. Everybody, I hope you enjoy this episode. It's definitely different than other ones, but I also think it's very necessary because this is part of our community.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. It's Nikki O'Donnell.
And Jess Forshee.
And we're here today with some really incredible folks. We are talking with school board member Susie Crafton, and she is here with her counterparts, and we are going to discuss a little bit about why this school board election here in our community is so important, who you guys are, where you come from, why this is important, and then we have some questions we thought we'd ask. As a parent in this community, I don't know a ton about how the school board works or, you know, that sort of thing, so I hope that I can ask questions as like a normal as a parent in the community. So hopefully that will, I think it will open up the ability for us to kind of understand at the same level. So,
yeah. Let's start over here.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself, Ron?
Of course. I'm Ron Lippitt. I was appointed to the school board in May of this past year, and I'm running on the 4-year slot to retain my position on the board. I am a parent in the district. I have 3 daughters, one who is still in the district at Walled Lake Northern as a junior. And I feel really privileged and honored to be running on a slate with such amazing, talented, like-minded candidates as Mark and Susie.
Okay. Susie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Susie Crafton. I am an alum of the district, proud graduate of Walled Lake Western. Go Warriors. I have a sophomore at Walled Lake Western right now, and I have a recent graduate who's a junior at Ohio State University studying architecture, and he was a graduate of Walled Lake Western as well. I have the privilege of living in my childhood home, and I'm was appointed to the school board in June, so I am seeking to retain a seat as well. I'm running on for the 6-year term because I'm ready to keep our community the beautiful, diverse, inclusive community that I chose to move back to in 2018. And I'm privileged to be sitting next to my friend Mark Siegler, who will introduce himself next.
Good afternoon, good morning, good day, whatever. My name is Mark Siegler. I am privileged to be running again for the school board after serving 31 years in the Walled Lake community. My family and I have lived here for approximately 38 years. Both of my children have graduated Western, and would love to get my grandchildren over here, but my daughter is in another community and I can't do it. I'm running to give us a sense of stability, to continue offering our students the opportunity for student success, and to help us to maintain our administration, our building administration, and our staff as we are moving forward during these times.
Thank you all. So I think what's really neat about this conversation and some of the questions we have for you guys, because we are all members of this community and you guys have, like, through the decades, right? That's incredible. I want to raise my kids here. And I believe in, like, running towards the fire, right? And so we have, being a person who's gotten the opportunity to work with all the past superintendents and run programming in the schools and be working one-on-one with the kids and serving the district that I live in. As 2020 happened, I also saw a lot of the changes and the challenges that are now facing our kids that didn't exist before. So I think it's an opportunity here, having such a large transformation of the school board, because I think that can make for great change. This is a very polarized district in some ways. And so I love that we can have this conversation. I mean, I want to say that everybody wants the best for our kids. And I hope that that really is, like, the full agenda, right? So I'm excited to hear lots of the ways that you guys are prioritizing that. So I think I'll ask the first question.
That's cool with you.
Yeah. So last year, we'll ask kind of a general one. But this one I wanted to start with, I had the opportunity to go into all three of our high schools and do a program I called Mental Health ICU, which was just a real-time needs analysis. I'd worked with Woken County on collecting needs-based data for the opioid epidemic, and through that realized we have very little data for, you know, our youth. We use the MyFi, right, at the strategic points in the year. For those that don't know, the MyFi is, I wish I knew what it stood for, but I'll get to that. But it's essentially, it's an evaluation of our students at 7th and 11th grade. And so it gives a lot of questions about safety, substance use, and then a few sprinkled in that are, you know, like more like quality of life, like how are our kids doing. It's very limited, right? So I had been using as a therapist three questions on a MyFi that was given every handful of years to kids who, right, like were struggling with that maybe pre-2020, and now there are all these other issues. So one of the things that was interesting, the top one this year for all three schools, right, the biggest stressor is body image. It makes sense. Like, we all probably think, oh yeah, I fell that way in high school. But for them to identify out of a list of like 15 things and prioritize in all of them, I just kind of wanted to hear thoughts. You know, we brought this up and as a clinician, but then also as a nonprofit founder in the community, we tried to meet the gaps where they exist, right? Like, how do we build this in? And this is a puzzle that we still have, because as far as the world of, you know, children growing up and living in this world, it comes from every direction, right? Social media. So it's a moving target. But I wanted to hear some thoughts on that. Like, we have quite a few kids, right, who are saying, this is something that I'm concerned with. What do you think about that? Is that interesting? Does that strike you as surprising at all?
So it doesn't surprise me, and it makes me sad to say that. Yeah. I have the privilege of working countless hours. I'm trying to do the math real quick in my head, and I can't. I'm at the theater a lot, especially at Walled Lake Western, but I have connections at Central and Northern as well. And so I get to work with a costumer, and I also have no role in casting, but I have heard conversations about casting. And body image is something that the adults are needing to help kids manage. Meaning, we're thinking about how they think about their bodies as we are costuming them. And it breaks my heart that kids say sometimes unkind things to each other, but then they immediately catch themselves and they're like, I'm sorry, I didn't, that came out the wrong way. What I meant was. So they're managed, in my take, and I'm so grateful that these young people are real and vulnerable and themselves with me, because I've proven myself to be a trusted adult. But they will say things like, you are beautiful. I didn't mean to say blank. So they are managing in their heads what they instinctually think, because our society is brutal to all different body types. So they will say what they instinctually say, and then they will also self-monitor, oh, that was unkind. And the cognitive load that that must have on kids, and they're in school, right? They're supposed to be there to learn.
Yeah.
So when someone says something like, we have to go back to basics, kids aren't reading, well, they actually are managing a massive cognitive load that society is putting on them. Yes. And we have to be eyes wide open as adults that this is the reality they're living in.
You know, it's interesting because as society, we look at how people dress, we look at the clothing that they're wearing, the tattoos they might have or not have, the color of their hair. Sometimes children are wearing something because they want to be identified or they want somebody to know that, hey, I am me, respect me for who I am, and this is the person you're going to get. And, you know, when we talk about clothes and physical attributes and appearance, you have to realize there is no mold. We are not cast in a mold. And one of the things that I think we do a phenomenal job in this district with our children, specifically at a young age, is realizing we're all different. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different socioeconomics. And, you know, looking at the district over the last 30 plus years, I can say it's been a major shift to the recognition of our children of what is happening in society. I look at my daughter and my son who went through the district and their friends and how they were so involved with programs or the musicals or marching band or anything else, you know, to realize the fact that this is an ever-changing society, but we have to do more for our children at a younger age to make them understand.
Susie said something, I don't even know if I've told you this before, but you said something at League of Women Voters, the candidate forum a month ago, and she said something that stuck with me, and that is very simply, it's hard to be a kid right now. It's hard to be a student in public school right now. And I think one of the changes that I've seen as a parent and also at the board is that the schools themselves, our district becomes almost a last refuge for some of folks who, you know, who otherwise don't get the support that they might need from either the community or their own home. And this is representing, as Mark just said, it's a change that's happening right now. And it's a change that's happening not just with our kids and our students, but it's happening at the school staff and administration and strategy itself. We must shift as I call it an organization, but as a district, to be able to support and care for these kids, to allow them the opportunity to be seen and advocated for and endorsed and have the kind of student success that we're trying to achieve and support through our run for school board.
Well, as I've said in the past, you know, our name is Wadley Consolidated Schools, but for years I have said we are Wadley Community Schools.
That's right.
And really, you know, we have some times when we're pulled, you know, apart, but we try to come back as a community. And that's the only way we can help our children move forward.
Yeah.
I have something to add to your comment, Susie. So talking about the mental load that's on students these days, there's actually research to back that up. Attention and focus are finite. So if you're constantly like monitoring what you're saying, how much mental capacity is that taking up, right? If you think of it like a gallon of water, and 30% of this gallon is taken up by monitoring yourself, like, that's insane. And then we put so much pressure on children to do well and exceed and things like that. But children learn by experience and learn by modeled behavior, right? They have that awareness because society has put all of this garbage into their minds about who they are and what they actually look like and things like that.
Even who they're not.
Yeah. And as adults in this community, how do we model the behavior of having that awareness so that they don't have to monitor their awareness, because the good behavior is modeled for them and that's actually what comes out through them?
I don't have an answer for how society does it, but I can say how I did it at home last night.
Okay.
I think that's the best place.
Yes.
For an example.
So the election's tough, yeah. Right? I'm running for an unpaid volunteer, 6-year job.
How do you think I feel?
Mark's been doing it unpaid for 30 plus years, right? But there's a lot of vitriol right now, and it's coming from our own community, at our own students. So last night, what it looked like for me, for how to model, was I see you. I hear you, I cry with you, and I have your back. And I know there are people out there that have my back, and therefore they have yours. Love always wins.
You know, it's my daughter was very involved in with her friends in the district, and she had a very diverse population of friends.
Yeah.
And when she had to give a speech for her religious school graduation, she literally went back and talked about her friends and the diversity and the people that she had worked with and grown up with us in our neighborhood. Now, it's not a West Bloomfield, it's not a, you know, all Farmington Hills, it's not Bloomfield Hills. It was what we had here in Walled Lake. And it made me, I had to laugh, because when she wrote her first speech, I said to her, please, I'm on the school board, rewrite it.
Yeah.
And she rewrote it, and then our clergy called and said, we want the original speech. She's going to read it from the pulpit for graduation.
Wow.
And I just sat there looking at her saying, she's got it together. She knows what it's all about. And then recently, when we had the issue with some packages thrown on people's front porches and on their lawns, she wrote a beautiful statement that I had to share with my friends in the community, because it truly spoke of, this is a child of Walled Lake. This is a child. This is my child. But she is there to express the rights and protections of everybody involved.
It's kind of generational.
Yeah.
Right. When you said that, kind of hit a note with me too, whereas like, it's almost like we all as adults have to be self-aware enough to admit that, or even examine, like, what are we passing on to these kids unintentionally? I constantly feel like I'm doing this more than ever. Because my son, he's 12, and he's such a great mirror for my own issues. Like, there they are. Like, you know, I don't know how, it's been eye-opening for me to look at things that way. Like, what am I unintentionally, you know, passing down? But as a community, right, we unintentionally pass down beliefs, we pass down behaviors, and again, kids are little sponges. They're absorbing constantly.
Yeah. So, Mark, for you, with Nikki just saying that that's a reflection of what she's got going on and the things that she needs to heal, what do you think that triggered in you, right? Like, to ask her to rewrite that speech because you're in the public eye.
I think it was, I thought the first speech was too critical.
Ooh.
And too confrontational, and I was trying to protect my child from being attacked by those that were going to be the recipient of the speech without realizing the fact that that was her expression of her opinion. That was her individual.
Well, you let her be brave. You raised her to be brave, which
yes.
is
oh,
why.
She, right? I will say this, and if she watches this, she'll say, thank you, Dad.
That bites you in the butt sometimes,
but,
doesn't it?
No, she is a free spirit. She is a free thinker. She has raised two beautiful grandchildren who are very much like their mother, to the point where I jokingly say my 12-year-old granddaughter scares me because I think she has all the makings of a great politician.
I will say, and in working with this specific community and these specific kids for all the years I've done it, they will change things. Yeah. They do need supportive adults, right? And we talk lots about, you know, in general, needing three places to feel like ourselves or to feel safe. Home, hopefully, maybe, but not for a lot. School. We want to be one. And then we need a third place. So, like, imagine it's like a table with three legs, right? And so there are so many kids running around with, you know, one-legged tables, maybe, where they only have one or two. And then we think back, like, wow, I probably only had, you know, I really had to do a lot with very little. And I think a lot of us adults think that way. So, yeah, I'm just, like, piggybacking off of your thought.
It's if I can make a comment because at the kickoff of our school year we had the annual kickoff event that was actually led by our superintendent, and they talk about the annual plan and kind of what's going to be achieved. But one of the features of that event, which I really loved, was they had a Waldeck School alumni roundtable up there where former students got a chance to talk about, you know, their experience in Waldeck Schools. And one of the things that really came out of that experience, and this is the first time I'd ever seen it, was they weren't talking about how much they enjoyed a class, or they weren't talking about the physical logistics of a school, or even sports or things like that. What they almost uniformly talked about was how their lives were altered by a particular teacher or somebody in the school who inspired them to tease out what was best about them. And to be able to achieve on that basis, and that having you know, and this brings us down to the concept of the notion of how teachers and educators and everybody who touches the school truly impacts the young people that move through our school system. This is something that is we must reinforce, and we must tell people that's what we're trying to achieve here in Walled Lake Schools, is to bring out the very best of what's possible with our students.
I remember when my son was in school, and my son was, he beat to his own drum. And I remember being very concerned as a parent and having his counselor, Sandra Andrews, who has unfortunately passed since then, look at me and say, let him be, he will find his way. And she probably knew my son better than I did, because he has found his way.
One person, one additional person in a child's life that is not part of their immediate family that they know has their back is a protective factor for sexual abuse or like mental health issues down the line. It's incredibly pivotal. Marching band saved me. You know, we see how kids are, they will find their own communities within a bigger community. And so I always ask myself, like, how good are we as grown-ups at providing the containers for that to happen? So I think speaking to kind of what we're all saying is one way we do that for our kids is we do it for each other, right? Like, how do they see us caring for each other? How do they see us talking, right? Like, how can we model that differently? They're real smart. These kids are real smart, and they will see through, like, the baloney. They will see it. And so I think giving them some credit there to be part of the conversation.
Well, look at the value of team, whether it's a football team, baseball team, marching band, choir, you know, gymnastics, cheerleader. You have a team. You have a support base. And you're talking about the legs. That is part of the legs. That is part of the structure.
We're herd creatures, but we don't live that way. Is that weird? Like, we are literally wired to be together.
That's interesting.
And so when we override it, right, and we try to get better at being alone, we don't solve any problems.
No.
Yeah.
But it's like when you try to be alone like that and do it all yourself, it's like you have layers of defense mechanisms that are piled on top of each other. So even getting back to who you really are with interconnection and depending on people is so difficult, right?
Yeah. Like, how many adults are having this journey of, like, who am I? Like, yeah. What do I want to stand for? What do I want? You know, I loved each of you shared that piece of, like, there is a piece of you that feels good doing this work for these kids. I did want to, so the other piece that I was really curious and wanted your guys' thoughts on are around building those safe containers for students. So in Running Words for Life, in our offshoot Vibe for Pride, which is our LGBTQ plus support network within our nonprofit organization, and we do some things in the community, but again, it's ran by two students, and one is away at college, right? And so, like, that was my little, like, we got to get something going here. How are we going to support these kids? The amount of children that I see in therapy who are, they're trying to figure themselves out. They have maybe not the greatest support system with which to do it, and not really a community that feels supportive, you know? We know that LGBTQ plus youth have more than an incidence of substance use, of depression, right? Like, all of these different things. And if we look a generation up, right, we see maybe how those things got planted in there. Now we have to do something with it, right? So, like, how do we, in today's climate, how do we create that for these youth who are questioning their gender, their sexuality? Kids who are, you know, coming out in high school, it's a scary thing to do, and most won't. I mean, I think that's, like, yeah, and there's a reason for that. It's because it's not safe. And we have a community where I think a lot of kids would say, I do not feel safe coming out.
I think, you know, we have to have a safe, warm, and welcoming community.
Yeah.
We have improved in that from where we were years ago. Mm-hmm. We still have a long way to go. You know, we look at our schools. Years ago, we never would have thought about having any clubs. Now we have clubs. We have something for the students there. But it's more than that. It's also community outreach.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, we're limited in the schools by financial constraints as to what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we, you know, years ago, we used to have a counselor and a social worker in every building. Unfortunately, as the budgets have been cut and the state has taken away from us, we have had to eliminate a lot of that. We still have a support base. Could it be improved? Yes. But again, as we saw last year with the state budget and funding, we lost, you know, our foundation allowance for this year. There isn't any increase, even though they disguised it as something else.
Well, the mental health budget. Right?
Yeah, and the mental health budget. Let's take it down from over $300 million to $25
yes.
million. So, you know, we're not doing a service for our students or for our community. And we're not getting the support we need out of Lansing.
Well, then you're getting kids who carry all this and trauma, and then they go into adulthood.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then what?
And
then
just repeats the cycle.
Yeah, so I follow the Trevor Project. I read the Trevor Project quite often. I get their updates. I'm aware of, to me, the most sobering statistic of all is that LGBTQ youth who come out in high school, 40% of them have had suicidal ideation. 40%. So what can we do as a school district? Mark makes a good point. Yeah, from a budget standpoint, it's difficult. We have to be careful about how we use the money. But it doesn't cost money to enthusiastically accept the protections of Title IX.
Right.
That's a great point.
It doesn't cost money to enthusiastically encourage folks that identify as LGBTQIA+, to say that you are seen, you are heard in our school, you are supported, and to set up, you know, either programs or groups or care for these folks that allow them to be fully taken care of in our schools.
Likewise, it doesn't cost any money to have a book that has two moms.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
And it doesn't cost any money to have a book that has a gay or non-binary lead character.
It's representative of the world.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It is representative.
Kids need to see themselves in the curriculum. That validates their identity.
And by not doing that, what are you saying, right?
100%.
Right. We don't.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at book banning or book elimination. You know, and we're already seeing the signs of that within our district. The lack of recognition for the population is already happening by our competition in the district. And what, you know, everybody is allowed to teach at home what they want, but our society is a very broad society. And if you don't accept anything, you're going to have a big problem.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Kind of build your own box. And that's what scares me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
And you can have your own box.
Totally.
I'm happy for you to have your own box. But it's your box.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is not my box.
Yeah.
And your box doesn't get to say your box is the only box.
Mm-hmm. Great way
so
to put
well
it.
Said.
Yes. Yes. And that we, what is community, right? It's all of us, right? The opposite of, what do I love to say?
The opposite of abandonment.
Thank you. The opposite of abandonment is connection.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we have, even just think globally, mental health-wise, all the statistics show all of us struggled through 2020, and we felt disconnected. A piece of our brain, literally, we can see this, it's science, was not activating because we weren't seeing people eye-to-eye, person-to-person. We're biologic herd creatures. This is important. So now we're all affected by this. And it's like, how do we take, we do have to take that into account. Because we're also, this is a district parented, right? Parented by parents who also struggled. And so I think part of, like you were saying, Susie, in the bigger picture of like, what is, in the community, right? Like what the bigger community as a whole, right? Like what would pride look like here? So this is something we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you guys think that is a community pride like they do in Ferndale or Royal Oak? Is that something, what would happen if we did that here? What if that was, because really what that says to me is communities are saying, you're safe.
This is supported.
And this is supported. I wonder though, do you think that's, what do you guys think? How would that be received?
I think in some parts of our community, in some parts of the 60 plus square miles of our district, it would be openly accepted. And in other pockets of the district, it would be shut.
We're a hard district. I mean, we are a fabric of many types in our district, right? So the answer to your question is it depends. And I always, that sounds like a lawyerly answer, but it's true. It depends where and when you would have something like that. I agree with Mr. Sigler here that. Yeah, it would be openly accepted in certain places at certain times, but in other places, I think that people would react negatively to it.
You look at the community, the district back in the 80s and early 90s, where there was minimal diversity of any kind.
Yeah,
and you look at the transition to where we are now in 2024. It has been a phenomenal transition, but we still have a long way to go.
Well, and every generation wants better,
yeah.
right? So we had to assume that at some point we would have these really brilliant kids that are smarter than us sometimes. So, yeah, having them at the table as part of this conversation.
So you raise a brilliant point.
Yeah.
If we had pride and the adults over 40
mm-hmm.
could just check their issues at the door, the kids would thrive.
See, I think that is the equation.
Yeah.
yeah,
that's how you affect yeah. generational change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of the kids in our school, I mean, obviously there is going to be a few percentages here and there, right? But for the most part, kids are accepting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the adults that need to get their act together.
Yeah. Susie, to repeat your language, you said, yeah, you can have a box over there, but don't try to put me in that box, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's... Is it okay that I have a box here? That I'm doing my own thing, right? Like, is that okay? Yeah, that's okay.
Your personal freedom,
right?
Inalienable rights, your freedom to express, your freedom to believe. Do we want to go back to basics and take that all away?
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, variation in species is how anything has evolved. Right, and so seeing more variation means we are evolving.
Our society as we are is moving forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the whole thing. We have to continue to move forward in order to make change.
It's a different world now. It's a different world.
I can't believe we've gotten this far without talking about social media.
Right? I know. That's like a whole, the amount of calls I get in a week for like, my child XYZ social media. there are photos. I'm like, oh, okay, this is a lot. Is that something you guys hear?
Well, at the school board level, it's something we're dealing with a lot.
Interesting.
And we're having also the direct conversation about cell phones in school. So
how
are we going to handle that? And that's a whole other topic. But there's no doubt social media is impacting the mental health of our kids.
Yeah.
I think at the school board level, we have to figure out the impact of that and how to help, you know, advocate for our kids given that.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, they did this really kind of innovative thing in a district in Hawaii where they had an inclusive, so the way that they were approaching inclusivity and equality within their district is really unique in that they were working with the smaller subset communities to like build safety plans with those actual kids. So like we're talking about, you know, I was going somewhere with that, and I totally forgot.
Really innovative thing in Hawaii.
But it was this kind of a discussion, right? It was very effective, but it was because they looked to the families who had the children who were identified, right, as whatever that, you know, minority group was, and they worked with them for solutions. So when I did that research with Oakland County, we asked all these under 18 students, like, if there was a task force that was going to be created to fight the opioid epidemic, right, insert issue here, right, who would you want on that task force? Mm-hmm. And when they did this with the over 18, they listed, you know, police, fire department, first responders, teachers, right? The kids, though, not one of them said, almost all of the children had said, families of people with addiction.
Yeah.
People who are
addicted.
Yeah. Like, the people it's affecting. And that blew my mind right open, because I was like, of course. So, just like you were saying, right, like, the adults in this community, like, this is a responsibility that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be those that disagree, I think, too. Like we said, everybody gets their own box and can decorate it however they want to. But we do continue to move forward. And we will have to prepare kids to live in a diverse world.
Yeah.
And so how do we do that best with the least amount of, like, trauma?
Yeah, I mean, you know, here we're having basically what we would have called in the old days a family conversation.
Yeah.
And people have gotten away from that. And you look at our children from the time they get up in the morning, when they're not at school, or on the weekends, get in the car, they have their tablet or their phone in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said to you earlier, you know, when I told my granddaughter, we are going to have a set period of time when you're with me, there is not going to be a cell phone. There is not going to be a tablet, because I want to talk. I want to know what's going on in your life. As a society, we've gotten away from that. My mother-in-law, may she rest in peace, years ago used to say, the cell phone will be the disdain of our society. And I looked at her at the time, and here she was in her late 80s, and I'm going, wise lady.
Well, and it's a teachable skill that we didn't used to have to be taught, and now we do.
Yeah.
We do have to teach those things.
Well, teachable skill is to be able to talk to people face to face.
Just having those conversations.
Unfortunately, a lot of our children cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even, were you going to say something?
It's okay, go ahead.
Okay. So even back to both of your points about having just tablets and phones in front of you, right? Getting rid of them at school. That blue light affects your brain and you think differently. It is insane, the research on it. And so how are we, like, protecting kids from that, right? And back to modeling behavior. I don't know. It's just interesting to think about.
Yeah.
Because there are no answers, right?
No.
Like, we're all trial and error.
That's right. It's interesting.
Most of life is guessing checks.
Yes.
It's interesting, some of the studies, because what we're seeing in school districts right now throughout the state and throughout the country, the elimination of cell phones during school hours in the elementary school level.
Mm-hmm.
The bagging or separating of cell phones, or not allowing the cell phone to be turned on in the middle school from the time you get to school till the time you leave. Mm-hmm. Now you come to the high school and you're seeing the bagging, or, you know, putting the cell phone in a bag when you enter the classroom and then taking it out when you leave the classroom to go somewhere else. And one of the aspects that we have seen in a lot of the studies is how this child feels much more secure having that cell phone on their person than up in a bag on the wall. Mm-hmm. And this is what we have, you know, this is where society has gone right now.
And rather than trying to like, well, we're going to rewrite that, we'd like, no, this is just what it is. How do we deal with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like, I'm sitting here talking to you, and I turned my cell phone off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's in my purse over there. And that to me was a little bit anxiety creating,
right?
How many texts am I going to have when I turn my phone back on?
Because none of us get to turn it off, right?
Right.
Like, it's always there.
It's always there.
Well, I'm laughing because I also turned my cell phone off, but I forgot to turn my watch off. And during this entire conversation, my wrist has been...
See, that's the thing too, right? Technology is going to catch up to us with kids, right?
So the way I think of this cell phone situation is we have to teach kids how to cope and be effective in this society and the future. Mm-hmm. So
it's free for all in college if they go, right? So like,
right. So
gotta keep
cell phones aren't going anywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Social media isn't going anywhere.
Yep.
So what are the coping mechanisms and how do you use that tool to advance yourself?
Right.
But I wanted to also say something else from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We talked for a second about teachable skills, I think.
Yeah.
So I made a new friend this weekend. Like an adult new friend.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal, right? And we were talking, and I had a realization as a parent, but I thought it was just my thing. And then she said the same thing, which now makes me think maybe this is a teachable skill. So when your kid is having trouble, if you go for a nice long walk in pair, side by side, you're not looking at each other, you are side by side, and you create space to just speak, good things will happen. Side by side walking, no phone, no music, no distraction, just two people existing in the world together.
Mm-hmm.
With an open heart, good things will happen. Parenting tip by Susie Crafton.
Right. Well, what's beautiful about that is that even though we're talking about, you know, kids 0 to 18, their brains won't fully develop until they're 23. So we're really talking about children. And even though they can speak eloquently, you know, and they give these great speeches in high school, like, they are still children. And so, yeah, I think that is very interesting. You make a really valid point. How much nonverbal, like, how often are we showing up for our kids? Not in just what we say, but in what we do, which is what I love, kind of a lot of what you guys are saying, right? Like, how are we going to show up for our kids, not by what we're going to say, but, like, what are we actually doing if we want to make them safer, right? Like, what are we actually doing if we want everyone to feel like they have a place here?
Mm-hmm. Those sorts of things. That's great.
I love that. It's great.
Dogs are good for that purpose, too, by the way. Walking a dog every night and having that set time after dinner, usually.
Yeah.
Great time for connecting with kids.
Yeah.
Well, the better we get, I think, at identifying the problem, the closer it's like you're almost at the solution then, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when whether it's cell phones, you know, is the real worry that kids are going to be distracted and they won't get good grades? Like, is that really it? Because then we got to track that different, right? Like, it's really asking the question. And Jess, I think this is what you're so good at, is getting to the root of where is that fear coming from that we feel like we have to, like, right? Like, as a community, like, oh, we can't have that. Like, where is fear living there? How often are we leading with fear rather than curiosity? Which I love that you guys lead with curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really great point you just made, because, and not to talk about the other side of the argument, but much of that argument is fear-based.
Yeah.
It is using fear to create some type of outcome that is not natural to what it is our kids are trying to achieve.
It does create comfort, though, because
yes.
It creates its own community, which unfortunately this is the cycle.
Yeah,
and it's just, I mean, that's a natural human thing to have fear of the unknown. Your subconscious does not
or
like
different.
Unknown. Yeah, or different, because it's like, oh, I don't know what that is. I cannot predict your actions or movements. I may not be safe. I don't know, but I'm not going to give you the opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like Nikki said, leaning in with curiosity instead of fear, holding space like you do at home, Susie, and just letting things happen, talking it out.
It's resetting our whole system. So we during 2020, we all got stuck in fight or flight, whether we knew it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
These kids, I can give you a list of 10 things that I know every parent's gonna be like, oh my gosh, my kid has all those things. Yes, they are in fight or flight, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So it's very difficult to think, right? We don't paint the bathroom when there's a hurricane. It's like we have bigger things, bigger fish to fry. So like, but we're trying to educate kids also.
Can I make one more comment about fear? And that much of a fear of any student going through high school is what happens after.
Yes.
So you finish high school, and I think that just as we talked about the notion of there being so many different boxes of students in our school, you know, we're trying to create and reinforce the reality that our high school also needs to be a great landing place for a wide number of boxes for people outside of high school. Mm-hmm. And this is something I say not just in Walled Lake schools, nationally has been an issue that we've been very limited in our impact and really taking them and preparing them for that next step in their lives. And that's been a big part of what we tried to achieve through the student success portion of our platform.
Well, I mean, you also look at the fact that as a society, and you're talking about student fear, what am I going to do after high school?
Yeah.
You know, we had put so much emphasis as a society on going to college that we lost sight of the VOTEC programs,
yep.
of the needs of society for tradespeople, mm-hmm. the needs of society for now in this day and age of children going into the military, or even just going out to the working public
artists,
as it is.
Right? Like, the, yeah. where's
That's
the,
right.
yeah, all the people,
you know,
things
we, through we've stymied the creativity
yep.
to a certain extent, and we're, you know, as somebody who's been involved with the technical centers for years, you know, I look at these students and I'm marveling at what they can do that I would never have had exposure to.
Yes.
And the things that we need right now, you know, call for somebody for a service tech for your house.
Yeah.
And look at the age of the service tech that's coming out.
Yep.
And I hate to say it, the majority of them are my age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think it becomes very obvious to children in communities if their adults are leading with love or fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how it feels, right? Like if you're having an interaction with someone and it feels good, right? Like we all have that internal peace within us. And I know the kids do too. And because they're, you know, even though they're very verbal, everything that they're learning, the majority of it is because of things that they're seeing with the people in their lives or the things they're not seeing. So I love that we got to talk about some of those things, maybe like a little more, you know, who we are as a community, and based on that, like what do we do with this, with where we're at? Can we use this for such a great opportunity to model to kids, you know, like a different way of moving forward? I think that'd be cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
It certainly would.
And teachers actually also think that that's the way forward,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So we ask our teachers to give their heart, their soul, so much more time than what they spend in the classroom. And they deserve a badge of honor. They deserve more money.
Yes.
They deserve better health care, including mental health supports.
When you take care of the people who take care of the children,
right?
Right. You take care of the children. Yeah.
And our slate has been endorsed by our local Walled Lake teachers and our school secretaries. And I will say, the school secretaries, I believe, are the keepers of
oh,
the
know.
School.
They know.
They
know our
right.
Well,
I love
that
we're asking the people who are there. These are the people that, as school board members, you will be taking care of.
Right.
You know, and like that says it all right there. Because those are the ones in front of our kids.
And I'm so grateful for each and every person who's working day and night to support our kids in our district. And I will continue to support them as they do brilliant work.
Yeah.
You know, we can't give them enough praise for what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and we are fortunate that we have maintained the staff that we have. We are fortunate that we have a young administration that I hope to keep for many, many, many years, because we're seeing that throughout the county and throughout the state of the massive turnover of superintendents and deputy superintendents and building administrators. And, you know, it is our responsibility as board members to make sure that we hear them, respect them, see them, and work in conjunction with them to help move the district forward.
And I'll just add to these great comments here that it's not easy being a teacher right now. I would make an argument, it might be harder to be a teacher right now in history than it's ever been as a career choice. But fortunately for us in Walled Lake, in our district, that we have some of the most passionate, gifted, talented teachers anywhere. And so it's thrilled to get, we're thrilled to get their endorsement and their support, but they have ours right back at them. They know that in this slate, these candidates, we have their back because we understand. We understand what it's like for them.
Thank you all for being here, and thank you all for talking very candidly about some really important things. Are there any last-minute comments before we wrap it up?
I want to say that Mike Smith wishes he was here. Yes. He is the fourth on our slate. He is the city clerk in Northville, and today he is making sure that early voting continues to be safe and secure. So he could not be here because he's doing his job. And soon we will all go back to doing our day job too.
Yes. This is a passion project like no other. I think you guys are phenomenal for just putting yourselves out there as grown-ups who want to do this. Because this is hard.
I've made some very tough decisions over the years on the board, as my colleagues will hopefully have the opportunity in their tenure to do. We're not here for anything else other than to help the district move forward, to offer support, to offer stability, and be conscious of student success and what we can do as we move forward to offer this to every child in our district, as well as our community as a whole.
And I saw a woman just the other day wearing a big t-shirt that said, "It's about kids, stupid." And I've been laughing about that ever since. And that's why we do what we do. At the end of the day, it is about the students of our district and doing what is necessary and needed to support them. So we're privileged.
I had one other kind of closing thought. There's a lot of talk right now about a specific population of students. And I ask the average community member to just think about what's really happening in Walled Lake, who our kids really are, and what are the most important issues. We are embarking on a strategic plan. We have a facilities study that is calling for the closing of a middle school. We don't have the details sorted out on that yet. And yet we're worried about what bathroom kids are using today. Let's focus on what really is important in our district, which is how kids are learning, who they're supported by, and what the school board policies are that move our district forward.
What a great group of people.
Right.
I love that interview.
I really love also just the way I think a lot of us are becoming more aware the way we role model to the kids of our community. Jess and I talk a ton about what generational change looks like and how it's not built into the young generation now. It's healing of the generation that's raising them. And
yeah.
So I really love that we're focusing a little bit on that because, whether it's in the grocery store or, running for a school board election, how we as adults treat each other, the kids are watching.
Yep.
Right. And we want to be great models. They learn far more from what they see than from what we say.
Yeah, they do. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Go out and vote.